Big Orange fans, you played every snap. You showed your orange, but you're just getting started.
Not over yet, Pat!
Because it's time for the best post-game fan show in college football. It's time for the Smart Way Garza Law Firm 5th Quarter Fan Reaction Show. The place where the Big Orange universe from all around the world gathers to talk about today's game. Unfiltered, uncensored, and unapologetic. Get on the line with us right now. 865-200-5402. That's 865-200-5402. Or hit us up on Twitter at Tony Basilio. Now, here's your host of the Smart Way Garza Law Firm 5th Quarter Fan Reaction. The man who's been keeping it real for Vol fans for almost a quarter century. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Tony Basilio.
They call me the official voice of the common fan. Ladies and gentlemen, I was with about 500 common fans today up at Bearden Hill Fieldhouse. And I got to tell you right now, the last hour is a complete blur. Now, it's right around 8:30 Eastern time, and we're with you for a long, long time into the wee small hours of the morning here. I'm making my way back to the Raymere studio in North Knoxville right now. But I'm going to say this in the first 30 seconds of your Smart Way Garza Law Firm 5th Quarter Fan Reaction. If I can get home in one piece, because I'm a little bit shell-shocked by what I just saw. God's getting ready to hang half a hundred on me on my next birthday, okay? I've never, and I mean never, never, N-E-V-E-R, been more proud of any team that I cheer for in any sport than I am that team today. And when I say never, I mean never. There comes a time in one's life when you watch athletics and you get as involved in it as we do, as we love our Vols here, and I love my Vols, and I will say that proudly to you tonight. There comes a time where your team can walk off the field and you can say to yourself, damn it, I am so proud of them. I am so proud to count myself among this fan base. I am so proud that I graduated from the University of Tennessee, that I choose to live here, that God's blessed me to be able to do what I do in this town and serve people. And we were together today. And I was hugging today. At one point, when he missed that field goal at the end of the game, I ran outside, and there were people chasing me, hugging me. That football team tonight might not have won on the scoreboard, but to anybody with any kind of heart and anybody, any kind of mind, that football team tonight won that game, won a lot of people over. How you can turn the ball over that many times. And I don't want to hear one person this week. No offense, Fulmerites. Don't give me this stuff about John Chavis. I've been saying it for years. John Chavis is a great defensive coordinator till it's time to make stops. And it proved true once again tonight. Conversely, this Tennessee team, when you play them, Alabama, if you want to come and get some of that next week, you better strap your chin strap on tight. I don't care who lines up. The energy, purpose, and passion that that football team played with today, I can't even begin to describe to you how much it just takes my breath away. I just can't even begin. I may have to pull over here. I'm so foggy from what I just saw. Did the game start Thursday afternoon? because I felt like we were there 2.5 days watching that game. And they've got to look at, I'll give CBS credit and the SEC, they look at everything but what they should be looking at. Tennessee overcame a game where they turned the ball over 6 times. They had horrendous officiating from pillar to post against the Vols. Just absolutely her-damn-rendous, okay? And you know me. It's not my style to bitch about officiating. It's not. But it's the truth. It's the truth. Today, Barry got his head exploded, okay? On a kickoff return, on an absolute launch targeting, and they called nothing. And then football Kurt Cobain, who induced Tennessee into several different penalties, Nigel Warrior smashed him. And they couldn't wait to call it. Tennessee overcame that. Six turnovers, Tennessee overcame it. I need you to help me tonight on your Smart Way Guards, the law firm, fifth quarter fan reaction, because I don't know who is our performance medicine top performer of the game. I wouldn't even know where to start with that. I don't know who our moosehead moose of the game is. I don't even know where to start. Texas A&M gave up an all-time record yardage tonight, over 700 yards. I want you to think about that for a second, and walks out of there a winner. They are lucky damn dog lucky to win that game. And if you think about Tennessee with 700 yards in offense, and you think about the mental swings in that game, seeing a senior leader like Danny O'Brien walk out of there on a board, or being taken out of there on a board. People who were at Bearden Hill Fieldhouse will tell you this today. I'm not saying this. I cried. Cried for that kid. I cried for his parents. Now, thank God, Allie LaForce reported, and we got the reports that he was moving his extremities. Cortez McDowell, violent shot. The first quarter of that football game, can I say this? That is the most rock'em, sock'em, violent quarter of football I think I've ever seen in my life. Both teams. A friend of mine who's an Alabama fan texted me and he said, are either one of these two teams going to have anything left for Alabama? And I told him it looked like a modern day game of rollerball. I want you to think about for a second. I'm at Merchant Road right now, so I'm about 10 minutes away from where I need to be. And people are flying out here. Goodness gracious. I want you to think about Tennessee with the turnover, punching the ball away in a 7-point game. And I was telling the people at Bearden Hill Fieldhouse around me, I would have onside kicked the ball when I caught it to one touchdown with 2 minutes left. And they said, why? Because we're not stopping them. We haven't stopped them. My philosophy is, I mean, there were a couple situations there at the end of regulation when we went down and scored, I go for two there. And you can call me crazy. At some point, you got to say, we're destined. We have a chance to win this game with a play. Let's win it. I'll tell you how crazy I am. And you can call this unsound, call it whatever you will. I'm just sharing my heart with you. I don't know if I'd have kicked that extra point or kicked the field goal in overtime. But either way, you think about A&M, Seaver gets free, taking the ball in for a touchdown, and there is no quit. There will be no quit. I'm telling you right now, this Tennessee team, I don't know what's going to happen from here, and neither do you. And I do want to thank Commissioner Sankey, who needs to change his name to Sanka, because that SOB makes me fall asleep. He's so into it. Commissioner Sanka, I want to thank him for taking a stand today on CBS. Is he running for election in November? What in the hell was that? What was that? What? Somebody tell me what that was. The whole world's against us. Florida gets an off week to rest and relax and get their quarterback back and get tomato can out of there. We're down there splitting our spleens in College Station, Texas, against an unranked, or an undefeated, rather, Aggie team who physically brought the hammer, and we brought the hammer in the first half. So I give out prizes at halftime where I'm at. And if I'd have done an emergency Periscope halftime tonight, I would have said to you on Periscope, as I said for the Florida game, this game is not over. I told the people in there that. I said, these CBS games, it's a long game. Believe in magic. Believe in magic. Believe in it. If you are an Alabama fan and you're listening to me tonight, you mark my words. I don't know who the Vols are going to put on the field next week. I don't know how many healthy bodies we're going to have after that. Just gut-wrenching, gut-splitting game, which is why I would have gone for two. I'm serious as I can be when I tell you that. Not that it would have mattered because they drove the field and had a chance to kick a field goal to win the game anyway. And who knows if he makes it or misses it or how they play it if you go for two there. I don't know. And I'm not questioning Butch Jones. I'm not. I'm just saying I would have been a little more aggressive. I would have said, you know what? I came from two scores down, and my defense is depleted and beat up, and we're all beat out of hell, and we're injured, and it's just been emotionally draining. And if we keep rolling the dice with you, sooner or later, you're beating us. I mean, that's just the law of averages on this thing. Now, you can call me what you want to call me. Call me ill-informed or emotional or whatever. Fine. I'm just telling you that's how I would have played it. But I'll say this, and you can say what you want to say about Butch Jones and Mike Board and that kind of goofy offense, and it is kind of goofy. When Chavis went into that Mustang defense, and we saw it here, and you had our big receivers out there getting into that open space underneath all the stuff they were giving us, and we were running by their secondary, that was some of the most classic stuff you've ever seen. Wow. I cannot even begin to tell you. We're going to go to the phones here once I get to, and I'm about 5 minutes away. And 865-200-5402 is our number. I can't even begin to convey to you how proud I am of this team. Oh, I know. I know now we're in a kind of in a perilous position because Alabama comes to town and Florida's going to try to finagle out of playing that game. They are. And Beano had a great point, which is if we were Alabama and Florida tried that shenanigans, Florida last night in Gainesville, every high school football game, according to my man Craig Jenkins, every high school football ball game in Gainesville was played last night. Huh? Huh? Jimmy Haim said today that there are reports out there that they're hosting recruits on that campus this weekend. Huh? Huh? Now, those things could happen, but they couldn't play that game? I'm going to call this what it is. Jeremy Foley. See, when you heard Commissioner Sankey today, and we made a prank call down to his office yesterday, actually a couple. Lou Holtz called him and fake Scott Farrell called him. Jeremy Foley today took his off day, and he went and played some shuffleboard in the morning, and then he went and had some croquet played some croquet in the afternoon, and he had his, and then he had ladies and germs. He had a fanny pack on today. And Greg Sankey's manhood, all his male parts, Sankey's male parts are in Jeremy Foley's fanny pack. He's currently walking around with him. And that's why Sankey sounded a little bit like Michael Jackson met Mike Tyson today when he did not guarantee us that game will be played. Oh, it better, you know, if it should be played. I didn't hear him definitively go, you know what? We're not going to let Florida out of this. So we sit here tonight unbelievably proud. I won't speak for me. Some are going to accuse me of being a, what would they say right now? I can't believe you're happy with a loss. I've never been prouder. I mean, I'm misty-eyed thinking about what I saw from that team today. In a sports world today, ladies and gentlemen, that gives us a time so little to be really proud of. I mean, we gotta fake it till we make it in the sports world today at times. You get a group of people that just capture your heart. And damn it, this team is fun. And they play all out. And I don't know if I've ever been prouder. And they lost. You know, I have a feeling right now of when I was a student at Tennessee. Those of you who are around for this will relate to this. And I was talking with a youngster today. He came up and hugged me. I say youngster, probably mid-30s. He said, Tony, and this is when we were down 2 touchdowns. He said, you realize everything we've been through in this game? I said, yeah, I do. He said, do you realize everything that this team has been through this season? I said, yeah, I do. He said, do you realize how many miracles, because these guys won't quit, we've seen? I said, yeah, I do. He said, you know, I've listened to your show for years, and I've heard people talk about that 85 team. He said, and I've always felt left out when they talk about it, because I don't remember it. I was four years old. He said, I can watch the videos, but unless you really live through something, you don't really experience it. And that's a lot of truth to that. That's a lot of wisdom right there. He turned to me and he said, you know what? He said, I don't know if I've ever felt the way this team makes me feel. He said, and I never understood those people who said that the 85 team meant more to some of those people than the 1998 team. And he looked at me and he said, but there's something to be said for getting the most out of what you have, leaving it all out there. This is when we're down 2 scores. He said, you know what? We may not come back in this game. He said, but if I can get through to you tonight, that's what I'm going to say about this team. He said, they may not win today. He said, it looks like they're not going to. In fact, it looks like if A&M scores again, they're going to roll us. And I'm telling you, I hugged this guy when he said it. He said, I don't know if I've ever been prouder, and we're losing. And I said, exactly. McDowell, Danny O'Brien, the absolute forward pass from Dobbs that they, I disagree with the call. Now I'm sure Rocky Good will tell us all in this market on Monday that it was a complete pass as he shills for the officials. Tennessee got a terrible whistle down there today, an absolutely abhorrent, and I'm not going to bitch about it. This is only the second time in 15 minutes I've bitched. And probably over our 4, 5, 6, 7 hours together tonight, probably going to complain about it, oh, I don't know, about 30 more times. Kind of a money-back guarantee sort of thing. I sit here tonight as somebody who is speechless at what I saw. And that is such a... This team has done this to me now after the App State game. Because I'd never seen anything like that, neither had you. The Florida game, never seen anything like that. Last week's game, never seen anything like it. Have you ever seen anything like this game right here? I mean, have you ever? Because the answer is, let me help you out with the answer. The answer is no. Oh, my gosh. Oh, bear with me here as I get my bearings about me. And then we're going to fire the Periscope up here momentarily.
I am me. We are us. And we are live. Oh. Live in studio with you, 865-200-5402. Our first caller tonight, I'm told by my lovely wife, Laura, who held it down for us, has been on hold for well over an hour. Honey, would you do me a flave? I need something to drink. Something kind of sort of caffeinated. And maybe a little something to eat as well. I forgot to eat. I mean, I was just so... I don't even know how to describe it. So freaked by the whole thing. Let's get situated here. Thank you for bearing with me. Thank you for understanding that we are we're a family operation here. We're the little guys. And this is my studio, and this is my thing, and I appreciate everybody that will call in tonight. Oh, man, I gotta get my breath here. Wow. I'm blown away proud. I'm blown away proud of these guys. I'm blown away proud. I'm blown away. I'm blown away. I'm blown away. I'm blown away. Oh, man. What a crazy game. All right, let's go to the phones. 865-200-5402. The Vols lose 45-38 in overtime. We'll look at some of the numbers from the game. Do the numbers matter? 700-plus yards of total offense, 6 turnovers, countless untold, what do we call them? Countless untold, come around here, Lyle. I want you all to meet my friend Lyle. This is my guy here. Look, he's from Cleveland, Ohio. Give him thumbs up, Lyle. That's my man right there. Lyle came with us today. We had an unbelievable time. Lyle, thanks, man. Love you, bro. I'll talk to you. Let's go to the phones. We'll get as many people in here. Can Periscopers, can y'all hear me? I'm not seeing any comments, hearts. What's going on there? What do we have that thing? I got to look at my settings. I don't know how to do that. Okay. If you want to get in the hunt and in the mix with us, 865-200-5402. Let me get this first caller. It's been on forever. And then Beanstar wants to join. Let's get our first call in. Hello and welcome.
What's up, T-Boss? This is D. Brady.
Hey, Brady. Welcome in, man.
Man, you know, I got a lot of stuff. I hope you'll...
I'm bearing with you. I got a lot of time. Hey, Brady, I got a lot of time here. Go ahead.
All right. Number one, you know, the fix was in that first quarter. You know, when Dobbs, his arm was going forward and the ball went forward and there wasn't even a replay. I mean, come on, man.
Not even a replay. I mean, it's like,
not even a replay.
What,
not even a second thought.
Not even a second thought.
And in fact, the television coverage showed it once live and then they like went one quick written and they just covered it up. So, I mean, come on, man. His arm was going forward, the ball went forward, what else do you want? I don't know about it, man. The fix was in. You know, you couple that with the, you know, the Hurricane Florida LSU game. I hate to be a conspiracy theorist, but, you know, I really think they're putting a patsy in there for Alabama to roll over. That's money, man. You know, let them play Ohio State, right? That's a big money game.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start. I'm
outside of that tone.
Yeah,
I've said all week. If especially with the Jalen Hurd deal, who knows what's going on? I don't know. I don't really care. He wasn't there.
Oh, I do.
That's
know.
What I know.
I know. You want me to tell you what's going on?
Tell me what's going on.
I know what's going on. He was seriously concussed in the football game last week. It was not the hit on the goal line. It was the one of the tackles later on that happened around the goal line. He has been unable, basically, this week to shake it. And the truth is, this is more terrible news. They're worried about him next week for the Alabama game. He did not make the trip. People that are rumor-mongering about him being unhappy and this and that are doing exactly that. They're rumor-mongering. And it's a shame. Because he doesn't deserve that. His family doesn't deserve that. And the kid was in the dark this week, literally, a whole lot. I mean, I'm talking about this football team, and he's kind of emblematic of it. This football team has been beaten up. And so it's not fair. So that's the deal with Jalen Hurd. I don't know if it's a foregone conclusion that he plays this weekend. I'm not saying he's not. I'm talking about the Alabama game.
Either way, going into Texas A&M, we knew we weren't going to have him.
Right.
Butch Jones knew it. You know, Doughboy knew it. Everybody knew it.
Yep.
I said personally, my personal opinion, if Dobbs didn't run between 12 and 15 desired runs,
yes,
we were going to lose the game.
Yes.
Well, he didn't run between 12 and 15 desired runs, and we lost the game. I mean, we put him back there. He got some really good yards. He really did. Passing the ball. I'm really pleased.
He did.
We come back and made a game out of this thing. And, but his game, man, is making people look like dummies. And we didn't make people look like dummies. Our offensive coordinator, we stood back here and made it a traditional game. We played right into John Chavis's hands. He was glad we did that.
Yeah, he only held us to 700 yards of total offense, gave up a 14-point lead. You know, here's the thing. I agree with you, okay? To me, if I have Dobbs, he's a weapon. I'd use him the way A&M used Knight, and I'm running. I'm running him. I agree with that. We got the turnover around midfield to begin the game and ran that goofy third down play where Dobbs needs to get the ball there. I mean, there's just no... But you got a situation here where you've got a staff that does not trust that senior quarterback. They just don't. I don't care what they say. I don't care how they say it. I don't care how they spin it. They don't trust him. And so you're left with, let's try to manage our way through this thing and let's try and get wins. He played gallantly, valiantly in the game and they almost won anyway.
They did.
It's a hell of an effort. It's a hell of an effort, Brady. I mean, you can't.
No. It was, man. I mean, listen, as the comeback, you know, as we kept coming back, you know, with the six turnovers, I mean, my Lord, we've never been in a game. We should never be in a game with six turnovers.
Never in a million years.
That even puts more verdict on the coaching staff. I mean, how do you take that kind of talent that can turn it over six times in a 107,000 stadium environment in the middle of Texas and be in a game?
Well, I'll flip that around on you. How do you take a team that has six turnovers and be in a game? Yeah, I think you're well coached when you do that, aren't you? I mean, you somehow found a way to keep your team in the game, right? You get credit for that, don't you?
Well, yeah, okay, I'll give them credit.
Okay.
They kept plugging. But here, I'm going to stand with you, and I'm going to stand real firm at the end of the game. There was no other option but to go for two.
My mind
went back to the Florida State-Miami, you know, where Bobby Bowden went for it and didn't get it, and everybody saw it for a decade. You know what? That's as good a recruiting tool as you need. Florida State went on to win national championships. I think you should have went for that right there.
There was no way
we need to go into overtime.
Yeah,
no
I
way.
I mean,
we just iced that kicker. There's no way.
With everything we've been through, yeah, I'll take a little coffee, please. Water it down just a little bit. Hey, Brady, I appreciate you, man. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Good talking to you. I'm the type, again, this is a little unconventional. I'm looking at that game. I'm going, hey, we came from two scores down. We're on the road. Generally, the adage is you play for the tie. You got bodies strewn all over the field. I want to win. Now, maybe that's crazy. I go for two there. Try to put it out. Say to my team, hey, look, guys, what do y'all think? Let's go to the phones. I can't even comprehend what we just saw. I appreciate it so much. I'm going to bring Bino in here. He's going to be with us for a long time tonight. Bino, welcome in. No Dub Smith tonight. Bino, how you doing, buddy?
All right, buddy. Glad to be here with you, buddy. And I guess right off the top, we knew that we probably couldn't continue to play from far behind and play undisciplined and play turnover prone and be undermanned and continue to win football games. But they just about proved all of that to be bunk again. And this is the 52nd Tennessee football team that I can remember, Tony. We've never had one with more moxie. Never.
I walk away from it, Bino, and I say to myself, in a sports world that just gives us so little, right? That just gives us so little with regards to really repaying you. I mean, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Yeah.
We invested in that game today. And on my Tony's totals yesterday, I said 4 hours, and you looked at me at our live broadcast at the Kenjo Market, 1700 block of Broadway yesterday. You look at me and we're like, 4 hours? I think I'll play the over. How long was that game?
Tony, you can't...
What in the hell?
The way football's played today, plus with television's influence, games have gone from 3 hours to at least 3.5, 3:45. You throw SEC officials in there, you've got a good 4 hours. Now it's a 5 hour event.
So, Bino, let's get here to the rubber of meat and the road. And I am not second guessing Butch Jones. I'm not. I'm just saying this is what I would have done. I have a team that's come all the way back from 14 down, but I know that my defense is beat up. I know I'm on fumes. I know they just went down the field on me. They were going to score that knockout touchdown, but I knocked the ball away. I got a second life. I go for two there. In overtime, I do not kick a field goal. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong, Tony. You're not wrong. I would not have been upset one bit at Butch Jones had he decided to do exactly what you're saying. But I personally wouldn't have done it, and I don't blame Jones for not doing it. That may be total fence straddling, but I understand your point. I don't blame Butch Jones for not going in that direction.
We're all different. And here's the thing about college football that's great about this game, is that no two answers can be 100% right. There's so much gray in that game. That's why it's so interesting. Like you said, the adage is, through time. People were looking to me today in Bearden Hill Fieldhouse, Beano, and they were saying, you can't turn the ball over six times and win a game. As if you're somehow mathematically eliminated from a game because you turned the ball over. Well, as you said, Tennessee turned the ball over six times and was in a position to win the game.
Yep.
Anyway, let's go to the phones. It's crazy. 865-200-5402. Be with you for a while tonight on your Smartway Garza Law Firm fifth quarter. Fan Reaction, the place where we talk about it and do it in real time. As I welcome our next caller in, hello and welcome.
How you doing, Tony?
Wow, I'm pretty numb, man.
Yeah, so am I. I've kind of got a list for you and Beano.
Go for it and take your time.
And I will. First of all, when you pick the ball off on the first offensive series at another team's stadium, you got to put the scripted plays in your back pocket and you got to throw it downfield. And we didn't do that. Did we?
No, we did not.
No, we didn't. In fact, if you have Jennings at wide receiver and you don't throw at least five passes up to him, it's crazy. I'm talking about like the ball he caught, the 50-50 ball down there. Help me out here, guys. What am I missing?
You have
Why won't they do that?
The ball down the field.
It's maddening.
You have a free series.
It's mad.
Intercepted it. You throw it down the field.
It's maddening. I'll tell you this about Butch Jones. The guy's never going to change. He's done a hell of a job with this team, and there's a lot you can say. I mean, it's a nice coaching job today. To get them, to keep them in that game is a nice coaching job. At the same time, you look at things, and I'm going to let you go through your list, but that's a great place to start. I look at that first series and I go, okay, on third and short, don't you have to get Dobbs with the ball in his hands on the perimeter there? I mean, isn't that what A&M did to us?
Why don't you throw? I mean, Mark Richt. I mean, there's a litany of coaches that on first down right there would throw a jump ball in the end zone, and just if they intercept it, if it's incompleted, whatever, or you score a touchdown. I mean, it's insane. But what do? You run it kind of off tackle in the kind of up the middle. I mean, you want to talk about silencing the crowds, you didn't do it, but my point.
It's better than that, though. How about third down? I mean, I'm Italian, I'm sorry, but how about third down? Why would you run the ball at their best defensive player? What are you thinking you're accomplishing there by doing
that? Because his ankle was hurt.
Oh.
But listen, my frustration with this team, I mean, the defense is playing with a mass unit of backups. And backups that, I mean, and backups of backups. I mean, they got third teamers in there. But six turnovers, Tony. And this defense is playing awesome. And let me tell you, the defense was in a short field twice. 14 easy points. You cannot drop the football six times on offense. And it's happening every game. You know what? It's going to happen against Alabama.
Well, they're going down the stretch. There's no question. There are a couple of things that this team absolutely has to clean up, and that's ball security, and that's discipline as far as penalties go. And the strange thing is, those are areas that have been real strong for us under Butch Jones ever since he got here. And now he's got a veteran team that's not very good at those two things. Kind of odd. Really, really strange.
And it's so frustrating to me that, I mean, and I follow Twitter. I've been watching, and I love my Vols. and it's painful to watch. I played ball in high school. I blew my knees out. But you know what? It's about ball security. And you have blue chip skill players dropping the ball, fumbling the ball, getting the ball taken away, the ball hitting them in the hands and bouncing off for an interception. If they're doing it in games, they're doing it in practice. And it's been an ongoing problem. And it's not stopping. Everybody says, oh, it's going to change. It's not changing. Win this game, but for 6 turnovers.
And several of them, I hate to tell the Chavis defenders, because I told you all that Josh Dobbs would have a good day against them. I told you. I told people that. We didn't have Hurd today, and we had 700 yards of total offense. He had
incredible
400 himself, and we're a damn mash unit, like you said. We had 2 offensive linemen go down today at various times in that game. I mean, come on.
If they don't lay the ball on the field, they win.
It's a
this
blowout.
Game.
It's a blow. If Tennessee just turns the ball over 3 times, it's a blowout. A blowout.
So what is the problem, Tony? Why they dropped the ball on the ground?
Well, a couple of them were hustle plays. The one by Kroom was just egregious. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you're wide open in the middle.
And Barry got knocked out.
And the Barry now Bino, here's my problem with what we do with officiating in this league now. We look at everything, okay? But what we should be looking at. First of all, Josh Dobbs' arm is in motion there. It's always been in motion. Now they're calling.
Absolutely. I mean, this league reviews everything. You're telling me that's the play in the game they didn't even review? How?
They didn't review anything!
It's fixed!
But they want to throw Nigel Warrior out for a,
right.
for a shoulder shot.
Here's the thing. Let's say this about Nigel Warrior's shot. That was helmet to helmet.
Yep.
I have no problem with that.
He lowered his shoulder, Tony.
It doesn't matter. Here's the problem. That's great. I'm glad he did. Here's the problem about posting a photo. I saw what I saw. He hit him with his helmet. Here's the problem, though, with it. The problem with that is Barry got his head blown up. That guy should have been thrown out of the game, too.
Helmet to helmet, crown on the helmet.
And that was that was a vicious shot. Like, if you're in the NFL, you know what's happening with the guy that hit Barry there? He's getting fined.
And he's getting taken out on the next special teams play.
Thank you. Great call. Thanks for calling tonight. Appreciate your passion. Thanks for being there.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Love you. 865-200-5402. Bino, I want some consistency. Is that too much to ask here?
No, it's not, Tony. And I understand the targeting stuff. Head injuries are serious. They need to do what they can to curtail those. But you can't just pick and choose which ones you call.
I mean, that is pure BS. And I'm not. I said earlier.
I'll tell you, Tony.
Go ahead.
I know head injuries are the point of emphasis, and they should be. But they better stop letting defenders hold guys up while 6-7 more guys come in there and take shots at them without blowing the flipping whistle. That's stupid.
In fact, that's how Hurd got hurt last week on one of those similar type plays.
Not surprised.
On a tackle over on the sideline where he was tackled by a couple guys that didn't look all that bad. Now, it wasn't a held-up type situation, but the point is, we're conditioned to think that the helmet-to-helmet stuff is the stuff that does the most damage. If you go back and you look at the Danny O'Brien play, it looks pretty innocuous.
Yep.
Till he's laying there. In other words, this stuff is cumulative, and your point is well taken about holding guys up. Because they're holding guys up.
They won't blow the whistle anymore on forward progress. I don't know why.
I know.
But they don't. And they're going to get somebody seriously hurt.
Yes, they are. I I'm so, so happy for this team.
Tony
for
Brady,
what they've done.
Scipion Amell is exactly right. This team is going to have a great season. And very few fans are going to be alive at the end of it to enjoy it.
Oh, boy.
Golly, Bob, it's just a thrill ride.
And if you're an A&M fan, you are sitting there tonight saying to yourself, we lost to a team that has 20 times more spirit than we do. We lost to a team that didn't have their star running back, that is having their middle linebacker, who was going to go pro, he's going to undergo surgery next week. Their best cornerback, who's a pro, by the way, is also out. They are beat up. They have white middle linebacker's lives matter, who's balling out at middle linebacker right now. And the truth is, they had 700 yards on us, and our head coach took 6 turnovers. You talk about mismanaging something. Does that guy have a pulse? Have you seen Sumlin Bino on the sidelines? I mean,
yeah,
Butch Jones is one extreme. This guy's like another, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess you can win either way, Tony. Some have, you know, high blood pressure, and others are just kind of cool breezes. But I'll give Sumlin credit for a program that had all the off-season turmoil that they had. They've got a pretty good football team.
Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402.
But they're not as good as us.
Oh, hell no. No way. Tennessee today, listen to this. You ready? Josh Dobbs, 28 of 47, 398, 1 touchdown, 2 picks. Jennings, 1 for 1 with a touchdown. Just an absolutely awesome call. Jennings is so underutilized in our offense. It's disgusting. And by the way, about Jennings, I've been saying all year, I'm playing him both ways. Did you see him initiate contact tonight and take a defender and throw him to the ground while he had the football? I'm not sure I've ever seen a guy tackle another guy when he has the football. Let's go to the phones. I'm so proud of this team, even though we lost. And I don't want to sound like a relativist. Hello, welcome into our next caller. That's you. Get on in here.
Well, just preface it, I used to manage the Gadzooks in College Station, Texas, at Post Oak Mall. And I lived with those people for 2 years, and they're good folks. But you can't put this on the coaches. It was absolutely the players, really. The past 2-3 weeks, it's on the players. I mean, they gotta catch balls. They gotta quit fumbling. You cannot sit here and talk about the board and whatever you call him, Marshmallow Man or whatever. You can't put it on him. It's on the players because they fumbled and they called the plays that won the game and we've lost. We've had to come back and they show so much fight that you can't complain. I mean, you really can't. I mean, we should have won these games, but we didn't. But we should. And Bino, I hear you. I'm out here watch bar leg just chilling. And you can't get on these coaches for this thing because This is pure player.
Who got on the coaches?
Sorry.
Have you heard me get on the coaches?
Well, yeah, every Moosehead commercial you throw, you're on the coaches.
What? What are you talking about? I just said they did a hell of a coaching job tonight. They turned the ball over 6 times and had a chance to win. I called it a very good coaching job.
What I'm saying. There you go. Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying we're calling in. People are complaining about coaching. This is straight up not on the coaches, if you ask me. And I'm a hardcore non-coach kind of guy, but these guys have proven it, and the players kind of let us down.
The players never quit playing. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about six fumbles, Stone.
Here's what I do think. I certainly think when ball security is an issue for the entire season, which it's been, I've given them credit in past years for playing disciplined, smart, protect the football type of games. When it continues to be an issue, when penalties and ball security continues to be an issue, that is a coaching issue.
I would agree with you when it happens on one night.
Say it again, caller. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm just saying they just took it out of Kamara's hands. Like, they run straight up. But the calls are there. Like, that's all I'm saying. I'm not.
Oh yeah, I mean,
the calls are there. They're running straight up, and they're just handing the ball off. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's just a Tennessee kind of deal that we have to deal with, and it's unbelievable.
So you think somebody saying when you get an early turnover, you should go for the jugular and throw the ball in the end zone is criticizing the coaches? I want to make sure we understand each other here.
Say that again. Caller.
So you think that the previous caller who said when you intercept the ball and you throw it and you refuse to throw the ball into the end zone, and I said I can't believe they didn't get Dobbs on the perimeter there early in the game, because we've started so slowly this whole season. We've kind of started like we're sleepwalking, I think, in every game. Am I wrong, guys? It's weird.
No, you're absolutely right.
Okay, so you get a turnover out near midfield. What do you do with the football there? You tell me.
Well, do you throw it over the middle to Kroom and he fumbles it? I mean,
is that what they?
Yards?
Hang on a second. Is that what they did? I don't mind you coming on here and saying what you're saying, but you're accusing us of something. I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm going to keep it real with you. If you want to tell me that you think that was a satisfactory way to start that game, after you get a turnover out at midfield, I'm going to say more power to you, brother. I can't help you. That's all I'm going to say to you. And if you're going to tell me I have an agenda for saying that, if you're going to tell me that I have an agenda for saying that, then more power to you. I can't help you. But I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm going to keep it real with you. When you get a turnover out near midfield and you have number 15 at wide receiver and you don't throw a ball up to him there, you're crazy. Everybody in the country would have done that. And now, all that said, still had 700 yards total offense. Our offensive coordinator schooled their defensive coordinator tonight. John Chavis can walk out of there and call all his buddies in our community here, and he has a lot of them, and that's fine. And Mike Griffith's one of them. He'll be there probably smoking a victory cigar with him. But I'm going to tell you this right now. He got schooled. He got schooled tonight by Mike DeBoard. Now, I don't know where that fits into your narrative of what you think of me or I'm not always criticizing anything, okay? Be fair, man. That's all I'm saying.
Well, don't put words in
no,
my mouth.
No, you came on hard on me, and I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't taking that because it's not true.
Well, I'm just saying that they played their hearts out and
right. They
should have done better. They dropped a bunch of balls and fumbled.
And I'm going to say this to you on your little porch on Watts Bar Lake. It's real easy for you to say that. I'm going to tell you this. Those are college kids playing in a very hostile environment in a very, very, very tight football game against a team that was knocking the living hell out of them early in that game.
Well, it's the same thing in the press box. I'm just saying that it's not fair to judge one if you're not going to judge the other.
One gets paid and one doesn't. And until that's not the equation, one will be judged harder than the other, brother. And again, I say this to you, man to man, and I'd say it right to your face, I will not apologize for that. Players.
If they caught those balls, if you think we didn't fumble.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
If we don't fumble.
We're in agreement.
The coach is still in the wrong.
We're in agreement. Can I say this to you? When the players, can I ask you this? Did those same players come back in that game?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, who gets the credit for that?
Fumbled,
who gets the credit for the players coming back? Answer my question. Who gets the credit for the players coming back?
Well, it could be deciphered two different ways, Stone.
Okay, and I'll tell you.
Or players.
And here's where I'm going to tell you.
Who's to blame for when you get
everybody down? Is now listen to me. Everybody is to blame when it goes bad, and everybody gets praise when you come back. And that's what we're doing tonight. I say hell of a job coaching staff for keeping your kids in there. And I say to the coaching staff and the kids, hell of a job for hanging in there when you had a night where you had C-plus stuff. Now, why you can't do that is beyond me.
You want to pick on players.
You want to tell me it was 100% the players.
I've heard so many bras call in with just terrible stuff. I'm not calling in and dogging players. I'm just calling in and saying, you can't get after the coaches. They called a couple games in a row here, and we've had drop balls. We've had all kinds of
stuff. Who coaches the players?
Okay,
you're out of here, dude. I'm not listening to that. Don't tell me I want to rile somebody up. If you want to come on here and have a conversation, that's three times I let you do that to me. Don't paint me with a broad brush, dude. I don't deserve that. I'm not taking that from you. I'm not taking that from anybody. I'm damn proud of this team. If you want to come on here and pick on those players who turned the ball over six times, it's a team deal. It's the coaches and the players. Period. And if you can't see that, more power to you. Like I said, more power to you. But you're not going to broad brush me. Bino, am I wrong?
No, Tony. I think the nature of things is that we're harder on coaches. Simply because they make millions and millions of dollars to do what they're doing. And it's just harder to get on kids that are out there giving their all. But through all of that, Tony, what you said that's dead on is there's enough blame and enough congratulations to go around on
exactly.
both sides. And I think they'd tell you the same thing. It's coaches and players together, coaches will tell you that ball security is a coaching issue.
Look at some of
They'll
the turnovers. Some of the turnovers tonight. Kamara, down there on the goal line. Do you want to get on him for fumbling that football there when he's trying to make a play, keep a play alive, and get into the end zone? He is hustling his balls off. To our friend out there drinking a little wine on Watts Bar Lake, enjoying the Saturday night tonight, I'll remind you, that was the most violent first quarter of football I've ever seen in my life. Now, I don't know, sir, if you've been in the arena or not, or if you're just going to call or whatever it is, and that's okay. Like I said before, knock yourself out. I'm going to tell you something right now. That was a highly physical football game. And if you want to say the coaches have to be better, too. Everybody has to be better. This is six football games in a row they haven't started, ready to play. I mean, what? That's all the players? That can't be all the players. But even at that, Bino, they're still special. Even at that, Butch Jones is getting a ton out of those kids. And
there's no question, Tony.
East Roll score. He schooled Third and Chavis tonight. He schooled him.
Hey, mental toughness is, you know, it goes from team to team, but your coaching staff sets the tone for that, and I've never seen a more mentally tough team than this. Here's the fine line, Tony. Here's the fine line between loving something and being critical of it.
Right.
I've told you before that I think that Josh Dobbs' biggest drawback is also his greatest strength, and that's that he never, ever stops competing. And sometimes it turns on. It's the reason we're in every game, regardless of how it starts. It's the reason we're in every game. There are a lot of guys like him. Today, if he would have just fallen on two fumbles, rather than trying to pick him up and make a play, the game may have been different. But I am not going to jump Josh Dobbs for that because he is such a competitor. What hurt us a couple times today is what has helped us win five football games.
And look, I'm not going to tell anybody how to think. I'm not. If you want to blame the kids for that game today, I can't help you. You and I watched two totally different games. Does that caller on Watts Bar Lake realize how many teams would have been blown out today? And then you could have called me after the game when we got beat by 42-14 and said, damn it, we fumbled the ball and the kids killed